Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for this weekend devotion where we reflect on a celebration of God's eternal plan. Let's pray. Loving God, please teach us how to live in your wisdom. Show us how to grow within the framework of your eternal truth, so that we can live for the praise of your glory. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14, and I'm reading from the NIV. Paul speaking says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. As we have come to the end of the Christmas period, it is fitting to reflect on a celebration of God's eternal plan, which is what our reading for today is. It is really an exclamation of praise for the many aspects of God's eternal plan which affect us because of Jesus. And these aspects are summed up in the statement in verse 1 that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Immediately, we have two things that come up in this statement. First, let's start with the words blessed and blessing. I think that most of us would agree that blessings are not simply feelings, like when someone says, "I'm feeling blessed today." Instead, God's blessings are to be understood as concrete biblical truths that have come into play as a result of Jesus' birth, his ministry, his death on the cross, his bodily resurrection from the dead, as well as his bodily ascension into the Father's presence. Such biblical truths describe the favor of God conferred upon his children by way of a benefit imparted, particularly with regard to our salvation, our spiritual growth, and our service in his name while we are here. These blessings affect our lives now and for eternity. The second thing that comes up is that these blessings exist in the heavenly realms, meaning that every blessing, namely God's favor and benefits as it relates to us, has been determined and fixed in his presence. Since this is the case, we must believe that what happens here will not affect what God has put in place for us where he is. The challenge for us is to take 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 seriously, where we are told, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." This applies to how we experience life in this world, how God views us in this world, as well as knowing who we are in Christ. Ultimately, to take seriously the fact that what God has done stands, no matter how we feel or what others may say to the contrary. and this should give us cause to rejoice in him. And of course, to understand that there are a good number of the blessings that belong to that category of already but not yet. That said, in Paul's opening statement, God is framed as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is done purposefully because Paul does not talk about God as our Heavenly Father in the same terms. Instead, in verse 5, we see that God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In accordance with his pleasure and will is another way of saying this is what God wanted to do and it gave him great pleasure to do so. Here we must take note of the word adopted. But first, let's look at the other word, predestined, normally a verb, but used here as an adjective or descriptor to spell out God's election process in verse 4, which is that he chose us in him, that is Jesus, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. We could restate verse 4 in this way: he chose us in him, that is Jesus, before the creation of the world, for salvation. In a nutshell, to be holy and blameless describes the believer's identity in Christ because they have been saved, meaning they are set apart, holy, and without fault, blameless, in God's sight. One of the many blessings that is ours already, but not yet fully realized. But we must ask ourselves what it means when Scripture tells us that God chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world. This is how John Piper, a well-known Reformed author and minister, puts it. And I quote, "The grace of your being chosen, and your holiness, and your predestination, and your adoption as God's child is traced back before your existence, so that it would be plain that it was owing to nothing in us, since we didn't exist. Before you existed, he chose you out of an unholy humanity to be holy. Before you existed, he predestined you, assigned your destiny. You will be his child." And the point of stressing that you did not yet exist is to make the nature of saving grace glorious and praiseworthy. Namely, it is not based on anything in you at all. You didn't exist. End quote. Now, this can either upset us because we would rather have salvation resting on personal, individual, and often poorly informed choices, or we can leap for joy at the goodness of God in choosing us for salvation on no other basis but his perfect and just will. Either way, we cannot get away from this language which describes the activity of God from the very beginning to the present. Let's look now at the word adoption. Paul's opening words in chapter 1 makes it clear that his letter is intended for the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he adds the greeting, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," making it clear that God is our parent too. The Father of Jesus Christ has in, through, and with him also blessed us with adoption. We too have been offered sonship in salvation. What was granted to God's beloved Son is granted also to those who are in him. And in case we're concerned about men and women, sonship as a term really refers to a spiritual status of adoption and inheritance in God's family, not gender. An inheritance fitting for us who are by God's choice and adoption his offspring. As such, we are called to live holy and blameless lives in keeping with our Heavenly Father's purposes. All this to clearly distinguish between our adoption through salvation and Jesus as God's only begotten Son, who came to dwell among humankind for the blessing of those who were being saved. In light of this, there is no reason for us to take our adoption lightly or to see it as something inferior, since we are still God's children. Our status as sons and daughters is different from that of Jesus, and so it should be. And adoption in biblical terms, especially as the New Testament speaks of it, is not to be viewed in modern terms, meaning we must be careful not to read into the text the scenarios of our time. We are not orphaned or abandoned children in need of a home and parents waiting to be adopted. Instead, Paul's use of the term adoption gives us a better understanding of what it means to be children of God, which itself is a term used specifically for believers about 9 times in the New Testament, depending on the translation. That said, Paul speaks in terms of adoption in only 3 of his letters, 3 times in Romans, 1 time in Ephesians, and 1 time in Galatians, the reason being that they were written to Christians in either Rome or Roman colonies, and the congregations would have been very familiar with the practice and purpose of adoption in their day. Which leads us to the reason why Paul used the concept of adoption in these letters, because the practice of adoption was a legal matter, but it was more than that. Adoption also included family or social and theological dimensions. It was a legal transaction that opened the way for a slave to become a member of the adoptive family or a trustworthy and loved man to be adopted in order to ensure that the estate was cared for and the family name continued. This is why Roman emperors practiced adoption in order to continue the line of the Julio-Claudian emperors. Becoming a full member of a family by adoption meant that all the rights that pertain to a natural-born son, including inheritance, were legally in place. It makes sense, therefore, that Paul's audience, residing in Roman colonies, would understand his metaphor and how belonging to God in this way was amazing, beyond words. Not only that, but this image is full of richness in terms of God's blessings poured out upon his people. For one thing, our status as adopted children of God communicates the close and loving connection that exists with our Heavenly Father. And so, as we come to an end, we see Jesus was manifested to creation and dwelt among us so that in Him and through Him we can know all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms that God has given us. In our reading, we discover some quite important spiritual blessings. First, we're chosen in Christ to be holy and blameless. Secondly, we were predestined from before creation to be God's offspring. Third, we have been liberated through Christ's offering of his life. Fourth, we have forgiveness of sins. Fifth, ours is the revelation of God's plan to restore all of creation. Sixth, we are enabled and empowered to live for God's glory. Finally, and above all else, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, guaranteeing our inheritance in God's presence. Now, if you forget all of these blessings that are part of the celebration of God's eternal plan, I pray that you will celebrate your adoption into His family. One Bible teacher wrote, and I quote, J.I. Packer, who is an evangelical Anglican theologian, in his classic book, Knowing God, said the following concerning adoption. The entire Christian life has to be understood in terms of adoption. Sonship must be the controlling thought, the normative category, if you like, at every point. The writer goes on to ask why, and he says, because this is what it means to be a Christian, having a true and intimate relationship with the Father by the Son through the Spirit. End quote. The point being that adoption isn't just a theological concept, but the foundational experience of being brought into God's family, making us heirs of His promises, as seen in scriptures like Ephesians 1 verse 5 and Romans 8 verse 15. And it's a concept which shifts our focus from mere rules to a relationship where believers receive the spirit of adoption, enabling them to call God Abba Father. But it also relates to how we live in this world. As those set apart by God and blameless, doing good works, demonstrating love in action until the end, when all things are finally gathered up and placed under Christ's authority. Ours, then, is to surrender to Him, love Him, follow Him, serve Him, live for Him, and take His message wherever we go. May God help us to do this. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, You have redeemed us through Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son. As we begin this new year, which is always pregnant with the unknown, help us to live with certainty, knowing this, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing because we are Your adopted children. For this we praise You always, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless you.